Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day and I'm trying to bless somebody.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
Because I know there's some guys that are like, oh no, you know, I'm sticking to my diet. Well, I'm going to plan. I'm going to plan to make sure that I can have a plate.
It's Thursday and it's December. Time is flying by. How exciting. Oh, man. What a great episode of the podcast yesterday. We had Austin Ekeler and we had Josh Allen, two big-time stars. Well, we're about to upstage those two guys with another huge star on this podcast because it is Stat Nerd Thursday, my favorite episode of the week, and that means big, shining, bright star Dalton Del Don back on the program. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
I don't know about all that, but I am excited to pod with you today, Harmon, because I've been concerned about you. Your guy, usually I'm being facetious when I use that term, but no, your guy, the Liver King, has been revealed not to be natty, and I've been worried, as the kids say, and I've been worried about you, man. He's been all over the news. Are you okay with your health guru being exposed?
This is like such an inside joke. I don't even know if anybody's going to get this, but look, obviously,
I knew you didn't have a reaction. Sorry, I just had to do it. I knew you were going to be
No. I'm speechless. Obviously, I've been reeling since finding out the news that that guy is not 100% natural, that he has been juicing. I mean, that is a shock to my system. Like, I thought all you had to do was live by the ancestral tenets, and you looked like a damn gorilla. What the hell? I mean, what? Obviously, my world has been rocked.
All right. I just had to throw that out. Let's talk some football, dude. Happy. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, man. By the way, if people are not familiar with the Liver King, like I don't care. Obviously, I knew he was on roids, whatever. And I'm not out there, you know, getting feet to ground or whatever, all of his ancestral tenant stuff. But if you're not like watching that lunatic's TikTok, you're missing out on some good stuff. OK, so I'll leave it at that. But Dalton, I'm doing well. Thanksgiving was awesome. Your Thanksgiving, I know, you know, what did you spend it in, some gambling bunker or whatever, and eating like you know, pho or whatever? I know you don't even like care about Thanksgiving. What's your deal?
No, I got some, actually ended up getting some nice turkey leftovers, but just bunkered down with my family, screaming at my bad DFS lineup, and that's just a degenerate losing get bets as usual. It's a yearly tradition.
It's a funny thing, man. Like, our group is so, you know, disperse across the country. I mean, you and I are actually at least in the same state, but we live nowhere near each other. You know, Scott's in Detroit. Andy is in Chicago. You know, like, I've actually, the amount of times I've actually sat down and watched a game with any of you guys is so small. I've never sat down and watched a game with Dalton, I don't think. And you know, Andy and I, a little bit in a bar in New Orleans, you know, a billion years ago, never with Scott. And it's just kind of funny. I would love to someday, Dalton, like, we got to like spend a whole Sunday, you know, but I'm, you know, we got to work and stuff like that. We have to write articles, but maybe some playoff game or something. We'll link up and we'll finally watch a game together. Cause I would actually love to see Dalton tilting bets and DFS plays.
Especially if I'm still live in the $6 million survivor pool, it really is a seat. I am quite a person to watch go a little bit too overboard on Sundays at times.
There's a special episode of the podcast next year during, if when you're still alive in the contest, we need to just live stream me and you all on Sunday. You know, five people will watch. It'll be great. It'll be good video content. All right. That was a lot there. On to real business here. You know the deal with this episode of the pod. 32 teams, we give you a stat for every single one of them. We skip the teams during the big section here that are playing on Thursday night. We have a fun Thursday night game to break down with the aforementioned Josh Allen playing the New England Patriots. But let's get started with the Philadelphia Eagles. We go from best record to worst record in the NFL. That is your reward for winning games in the National Football League. You get featured early on this show, and the Eagles are back on top. This stat you brought to the table, the results haven't been there for Devontae Smith since the Dallas Goedert injury, but the opportunity is there. 38% target share, 55% air yard share. When is Devontae Smith going to take that opportunity and turn it into a big game?
I think it might be this week, a pass funnel, Titans defense, it shuts down the run. Hurts may be sore after he's ran the 33 carries the last 2 weeks for the QB. Admittedly, A.J. Brown was dealing with an illness last week, so that's why his targets may have been down. He popped an eye blood vessel. He was vomiting so much. But Smith, you got
to
that guy?
Did he go back to Chipotle? Remember last year when he went to Chipotle and there was like the poop game?
Exactly.
I thought he's sworn off Chipotle. What is the deal with that dude's diet? That
he needs to eat more liver. He needs to eat more liver. Yeah. Get back to his roots. I think Smith this week against the Titans, like I said, a pass funnel defense, it shuts down the run. You look at this target share, he's a good player. So why can't it be this week for Devonta to have a breakout game?
Yeah, I like that call. I mean, look, you're going to chase the upside every single week with a dude like this. And you know, I made this point about the Eagles when we recap Sunday Night Football, that at least when they, you know, I wouldn't call it going into their shell because their run game is so good. Miles Sanders is so good. Jalen Hurts is so good. Their offensive line kicks ass. Like, when they do go to that script, though, you know the ball is only going, like, mostly two places with a little sprinkling of Quez Watkins, who's been interesting since Dallas Goedert has went down. So that is nice about
Vrabel's great as an
offense.
Underdog. Tennessee's going to score points this week. They're going to force him to play football in the second half. Yeah, I mean, after the Titans lost last week the way they did, I expect that to be fully competitive game.
I agree with you there. All right, let's move on to the next team here, Kansas City Chiefs. Isaiah Pacheco had 5 more red zone touches. He had 12 than any other running back last week. You added this one to the outline, Dalton. And, Scott had a good note about Pacheco where he's like, it looked like they showed him too much tape of CEH around the goal line, you know, because remember, CEH is like famously his first game in the NFL. He had like a billion goal line carries and didn't score any touchdowns. But I don't know. I thought this was an interesting one from you.
Yeah, that included, he still only has 4 targets on the entire season. Those were all carries last week, 12 carries, including 5 inside the 5. This week they face a Bengals defense that's been the best. We'll talk more about that, but they've been the best against the run when Reader's been on the field this week. But man, you love the volume there in an offense that's so, so good. Mahomes is the most passing yards ever through 80 games, and he's played 74 games. So yeah, Pacheco, the lead back there, obviously he's a weekly starter regardless of matchup.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about him later because the matchup is a little difficult potentially here. But I will say, I know he doesn't get a ton of receiving usage, but that one play that they did dial up for him, the 17-yard catch, that was clearly a design for Isaiah Pacheco to get him that. Like, I wonder if, you know, maybe if he earns more trust if we see more receiving work for him. But right now, yeah, obviously there's just absolutely none.
McKinnon's being held out with his hamstring strain too, so yeah, that could open up too. I mean, there was a Ronald Jones sighting. I would be remiss not to add too here, but
I forgot about Ronald Jones completely, to the point that when like they threw to number 2, because that especially I was like, who the hell's number 2? And then I was like, oh, that's Ronald Jones. Oh, he caught a pass. I'm like, whoa, what year is this? But so that was pretty cool to see, I guess, for your guy. Your guy, Ronald Jones, the last guy who tried to stand the great Ronald Jones. Although they have Melvin Gordon on the team now, too. If McKinnon misses this game, I bet he gets called up to the active roster and actually probably plays on some pass downs there. But let's move on to the next one here. Minnesota Vikings. You mentioned this one during a video that we shot earlier today, Dalton. The Vikings have allowed the most yards per pass this year in the NFL. They're kind of sort of sneaky becoming a little bit of like a fun carnival team because their defense has its moments. They're opportunistic, but they can give it up on the other end. And obviously we know their offense can put it up on the other end.
Yes, 7.8 YPA, I believe the second most yards per play. So, I really want to talk about Mike White and the Jets setup here later. But it's just got to be noted here that the Vikings defense is absolutely a plus favorable matchup for your fantasy, lineups. And Justin Jefferson, by the way, the most receiving yards in NFL history to start his career, and he has plenty of games to go, and he didn't even become a starter the first 2. We worried about his possible turf toe injury last week. Not a problem there. It might be worth noting that the Jets have been the worst matchup for I believe, receivers and quarterbacks over the last month or so, according to what fantasy stats you want to use that adjust for opponent and whatnot, but have not been a great matchup. But maybe with Mike White there, this could become more high scoring. So I expect this one in a dome to be kind of a fun back and forth with some more offense.
Definitely. I hear your point though about the Jets. Like, they just put quarterbacks in a blender, man. I mean, obviously Trevor Siemian last week, I get it. He did have a couple moments there, but right before he almost looked like he was going to get, they're going to start Nathan Peterman ahead of him. Thank God we avoided that. Although I would have
so wild. There's weather, Peterman suffering an injury, then getting the shot, a pain killing injection, James Robinson, the healthy scratch, Michael Carter. I mean, that was just a wild 20 minutes before game time. Sorry.
It was a crazy 20 minutes, and I enjoyed it for nothing more than, like, on Fantasy Football Live, being able to just, like, give Andy a bunch of crap for it. So it was worth it for me, at the very least. But, yeah, no, this game's really interesting, just again, because the Jets defensive line, the guys that they have there, you know, led, of course, by Quinnen Williams, who's been awesome this year, they can really just put a hurting on you. And obviously Kirk Cousins, like, this is the type of game. It's not an island game. It's not a primetime game where Kirk usually just goes off. But man, I mean, it's a tough matchup for sure for this Vikings team that's been a little bit hit or miss offensively. You know, even if for the most part, like, we love Justin Jefferson and all these players. All right, the Bills are next, but we're saving them for Thursday Night Football. So that brings us to the Dallas Cowboys. My stat for this one, Michael Gallup, last 3 weeks, 83% routes per dropback, 31% share of the team air yards, 6.3 targets per game. You know, the Colts are definitely they're more of a pass funnel defense, of course, and like some of those catches that George Pickens was making against the Colts on Monday Night Football deep down the field, I was like, that's pretty much how Michael Gallup has still been used so far. So Gallup hasn't given us much this year, but the farther he gets away from that January ACL tear, I think the better he will be. At some point, he's going to have a big game. I think this could be that big game this week.
Yeah, it just makes sense to get healthier as the season has progressed, just like Godwin. And he just noticeably looked healthier last week. Gallup kind of just jumped off the screen, just looked better. So makes sense, and expect more production down the stretch, assuming they don't add Beckham. That would obviously hurt his fantasy production.
Although, yeah, again, I still think Beckham is more of like a post-fantasy season type of guy
for
them.
Fair. Yeah, yeah.
It has really been a funnel offense between, at least from an air yard standpoint, it's been CeeDee Lamb and it's been Michael Gallup, like, and nobody else is really getting a ton of vertical looks. So even if Beckham comes in there and takes like 10-13% of the air yards on just like as a bit part-time player, that would definitely hurt Michael Gallup, who's not really in the weekly starting consideration anyways.
And they're going to get an elite tackle back too in this move, Tyler Smith over. Man, yeah, they didn't even drop off. Cowboys are dangerous.
Cowboys are really dangerous, man. I could see them going on a run, and I would really love that for Dak, who, you know, again, to we talked about how we'll get to Jimmy G later, but we talked about before the show started how, you know, in all of my like holiday football conversations, I kept saying like Jimmy G is having his best year, man. You know, Jimmy G having his best season. Of course, he has like probably his worst game on Sunday right after I say that. But, you know, Dak was a guy in these holiday debates always comes up. You know, is Dak really a top 10 quarterback? I really like Dak, really like the way he plays. And, you know, I think he's such a smart quarterback, the way he processes things pre-snap and post-snap. Like, I would love to see them go on a run here. And I think they definitely could do it in the NFC. They look really good right now, and they are potentially getting reinforcements late in the season, which always matters a lot. Next team up here, Dolphins. 15th in rushing success rate since week 8. Obviously, we think of the Dolphins for their passing game. You know, that's no surprise. Really weird game for them last week because basically, Dalton, they got to 30 points at halftime and, I mean, took guys out in the second half. Like, Skylar Thompson's out there. Even, you know, at different points, Scott Hansen's like, are they going to have to put Tua back in? The Texans have scored twice. Like, who cares? They'll never catch up, right? And the Dolphins acted like that. I only put this one on the outline because I wanted to kind of take your temperature on Jeff Wilson, who suffered an injury last week, although I don't know how serious that is. Raheem Mostert's coming back against your 49ers, apparently. Where are we at with, like, the state of the Dolphins' backfield right now?
Yeah, Wilson suffered, like, I don't know if he was cramping in his calf. He came out in that game last week. Tua had 278 passing yards at halftime and didn't reach 300 for the game. So very frustrating for fantasy managers with that game script. I put Jeff Wilson as one of my busts column this week. It's just such a tough matchup. It's a revenge game, but the 49ers are allowing NFL lows in points per game, yards per carry, yards per play. They've just been success rate. I think he's going to be healthy, Wilson, but Mostert might also come back in this game as well. Opponents have the lowest run rate by far in the NFL in games in San Francisco too. So I just don't think it's a great setup for Wilson this week. And again, like I said, the revenge game. A couple other Miami Dolphins stats for you real quickly. They're allowing the most yards per play on the road, but the second fewest at home. That's very odd. And Tua this year in EPA per play is having the best season since 2012. Wow. But he's been pressured on 50% of his dropbacks without Armstead, who's out this game, and their right tackle, Austin Jackson, looks very iffy against the Niners' pass rush. It's going to be quite the test, seeing two of the league's best passing offense against this defense. It should be fun, and you know, weather should be good in Santa Clara, so I'm looking forward to that.
I'm very excited to watch this game. What time is it? It's a West Coast game, so I assume it's on like, you know, 1 p.m. our time.
It's not only did they not flex it to the Sunday night game, but it's competing with that Chiefs Bengals game. I think it might even be starting at like 1:05 or 4:05 even. So yeah, I mean, this one's going to be like ignored, and it's 1:05 start. Yeah, we're competing against, everyone's going to be watching the Chiefs Bengals, and the Niners Dolphins game is going to be pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, worth noting, Lord Podcast just sent us this, that Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel indicated that Teron Armstead, you know, won't have surgery. He could play, but I think he probably ends up missing this game. He could miss some time. So it's something worth noting, like keeping an eye on that, because I agree. Like, Teron Armstead, he's always injured, seemingly, but he's a great offensive lineman and makes a big difference for this team overall. Who's the Sunday night game this week?
The Sunday night game is the Colts at the Cowboys. So you just could not mess with Jerry Jones. I mean, it's a joke. It's the second, what is it? The biggest point spread of the week. I mean, that's awful. It's a joke.
No, you're right. I lose, like, during the middle of the week, I always kind of lose the pace of the schedule, but I can remember watching the damn Colts on Monday Night Football and people are like, oh, we got to see this team on primetime again next week. Great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Cowboys. I take back all the nice things I just said about Dallas, because they're going to make us watch the Colts over those two great games on Sunday Night Football. All right, let's move on. Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson has 8 touchdowns since week 4. It's a stat that gets thrown around a lot, but I think it's just, I just want to, like, the Ravens, what the hell is going on with the Ravens? You know, I know there's also a bunch of stats about how they've blown leads at an absurd rate this year. Of course, we know that's been going on. The Ravens sort of feel like an unlucky team from that standpoint, but also, Dalton, I don't know. I'm kind of at a point where I understand, like, why the Ravens blow leads, because they don't have any really good players in their passing game outside of Mandrews. And look, Mandrews, I think, also is kind of like the Diontae Johnson of tight ends. I know that sounds crazy, but like, Diontae Johnson, I'm a Diontae Johnson fan. I love his route running, but he has to be the most mistake prone, like, bonehead play. If like frequently making bonehead plays among good wide receivers in the NFL. And I think Mark Andrews is kind of like that among tight ends. I mean, he's obviously a better player, I think, than Diontae Johnson is, I think, but that guy makes like at least one, how the F did you miss that? Like, how did you drop that play per week? At least one, sometimes two. And he's their only good threat. Although J.K. Dobbins has been cleared to return off IR. He's in his 21-day practice window. So, I mean, any good reinforcements for the Ravens right now would be welcomed if J.K. Dobbins could come back. But obviously, we just don't know where he is from that knee situation.
Yeah, that was a bad drop by Andrews in the end zone last week. We've talked about it repeatedly.
He's got one per game. He has one, like, at least one per game. He has some, like, boneheaded play like that.
The lack of receivers have just killed Baltimore. Lamar, 10 touchdowns over the first 3 weeks. He has 7 touchdown passes over 8 games since. A horrible, horrible matchup this week. I mean, it's the worst for fantasy. I mean, the Broncos have an awful, worst offense and a great defense. I mean, last week against the Broncos, the Panthers had a 29% pass rate. That's the Panthers. I mean, they don't have a running quarterback, and they're no great defense. I mean, a 29% pass rate. So I expect a lot of runs from Lamar and not a lot of passing. But, man, at least his hip injury hasn't prevented him from running. So, like, the fantasy floor is still there. But, yeah, he went from looking lights out as a passer to really bad. I think the nerd stats suggest he's been real off target downfield, too. But, obviously, he's not throwing any. I mean, Deshaun Jackson came out of bed and made the biggest play downfield. So, yeah, it's not great there and on offense for Baltimore, because they have a really good defense.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I just don't see it really getting better.
Yeah, I didn't. Deshaun Jackson, is that the right team? Did I mess that up?
No, he is on the Ravens.
All right. Man, he's like 36 years old, I believe he turned. I mean, that's wild to be the best deep threat for them. But yeah, and I think he injured himself too on the play. But
definitely the one against the Saints, he caught that, or he was at least targeted. he was at least targeted down the field or something, and he popped his hamstring immediately. Yeah. So so we got to check on him every time. This is DeSean Jackson's brand, man. It's like every he's just gonna sign with a new team, maybe late September, October, something like that. He's gonna make three or four big plays, and then he's gonna have three or four like hamstring injuries. And I think he could do like the funny thing is, you know, you watch him make that play against Jacksonville. It's like, he's still got it. You know, he's still so much faster than everybody else on the field. It's insane, but he just physically can't hold up to it at this point. So why not do this for three or four more years? Like, you know, be playing into your 40s at this point for DeSean Jackson, might as well. I just got a text from one of my buddies about a Liver King TikTok. So I'm gonna have to watch that as soon as we're
Oh, he's responded. Okay, awesome.
I don't know if it's a response yet. We'll have to see if he's responded to the allegations.
Yeah, for sure.
Amazing. All right, Cincinnati Bengals stay in the AFC North here. You sent this one in from Next Gen Stats. DJ Reader's presence has been key to the Bengals' success rate against the run. He returned from injury in week 11. The Bengals' 73.3% run defense success rate with Reader on the field in 2022 would lead the NFL by a significant margin. The Titans ranked first at 65.1%. So potentially big thing here for Isaiah Pacheco and the Chiefs this week.
Yeah, just faced Henry too. Just worth noting, if you're considering DFS lineups or Matt, maybe you're considering Pacheco in your flex, and it's tough. We're talking with Lord Podcast. On one hand, he had all those red zone touches. On the other, he has a tough matchup and doesn't get any target. So it's PPR, you know, you might be making that decision. And this week it is a tough matchup. But again, this is easily the highest over under of the week too. And the Chiefs have the highest implied team point total. So you're probably rolling with Pacheco unless you have, you know, a real clear superior option. But just note that this is the toughest matchup against the run in football right now with a healthy Reader.
Right. I don't necessarily... if you have great options, I guess you can move away from Pacheco, but if you don't, like I still think he's, you know, still certainly viable, right? But I expected the Bengals like pass defense to kind of fall apart after they started suffering some of those cornerback injuries. And I know they've played, like, their last three games have been the Titans, the Steelers, and the Panthers. So I don't know, maybe Mahomes I think could come in here and really exploit, like, you know, Chidobe Uzoma being out. Like, I think that could really be highlighted in this game, like it has not been highlighted previously, because again, those opponents, you know, the Panthers, the Steelers, the Titans, even the game before that, the Browns, obviously it was on Halloween, like you haven't necessarily played like a murderer's row of passing offenses. Mahomes could come in here and really fillet this team from a pass defense standpoint. Maybe they don't even need to really establish the run against this team. So that's definitely something to watch there.
Cincinnati averaging the second most points per game at home this season. There's also an argument out there that their offense has been more efficient without Jamar Chase. He doesn't hold the ball as long. That's another thing we should note here. You know, does Chase return? And Boyd has been completely absent. Man, Higgins is an alpha. But it's something I don't really think they're better, but their offense, you know, stays on schedule more without Chase. So maybe you can combine it, you know, use Chase downfield, but also take fewer sacks.
Yeah, Jamar Chase sounds like he is going to play. He responded to a reporter today. The reporter was questioning him if he's still going to have the same explosiveness upon returning Sunday, and he interrupted and said, "Hell yeah, man! I'm not even going to let you finish that." So, he said that like the main part of him missing the Titans game is he didn't want to come back too early and too fast, and you know, make sure he's handling things the right way long term. So I definitely think he's coming back. And I know obviously like there's some splits that, you know, whatever, like you mentioned or whatever, but I think like the most important player for them remains Jamar Chase. I mean, they were in that rut earlier this year and really they didn't do anything differently schematically to get out of it. They're just like, oh, let's just get Jamar Chase the ball as much as possible and let him roll. So I feel like it'll help. But I give the Bengals a lot of credit, man, because, you know, Joe Burrow's throwing to running backs more often this year than he ever has in his career. I think he has changed his playing style a little bit. Maybe if Chase is back there, he goes back to some of the, you know, hold the ball a long time, you know, let it rip or whatever. But I think they were kind of adjusting that right at the tail end, right before Jamar Chase got hurt.
And I think it was a quote recently, him saying that he doesn't care about taking sacks on third downs. And it's a great point. You know, I mean, it really is. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. And I haven't looked at the percentage he does on that. But after hearing that, it kind of made me less worried about that part of his game.
Next one up here, New York Giants. They rank bottom 12 in point differential the last 3 weeks. Obviously, they've been a great team throughout the course of the year, Dalton. But, you know, a few weeks ago, and this isn't necessarily like a fantasy thing because it's like, okay, you start Saquon Barkley. Like, you can mess around with the receivers if you need it, but I think you're getting pretty thin there. I don't know, man. I'm at a point now where, like, I think the Giants are sort of starting to become who we thought they were. You know, a mercurial team that is pretty talent poor. They're really well coached. Obviously, Brian Dable's done a great job. But I think the last 3 weeks, they've sort of looked like the team I expected. And, like, at this point, if they fell out of the NFC playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised, which is crazy because they started off with such a good record. But, like, if they lost, like, you know, a bunch of their last few games or whatever and ended up missing the postseason, number one, I don't think you need to be that upset if you're a Giants fan. Like, this is all, like, house money, gravy type of season. But I sort of kind of think, like, Daniel Jones, all of these guys are sort of regressing to the point where they are who we thought they were.
Yep, agree with everything you said, including my guy Saquon Barkley. I moved the line with my rushing title bet over summer, but looking at this, they have two more matchups against Washington and two more against Philadelphia's rebuilt run unit. So that's four games. That's not ideal. I don't see it with the offense around him. He still looks good enough. I know he's been battling that shoulder injury, but the supporting cast is just not going to help Barkley there. Probably win that ticket for me.
Yeah, last 2 weeks, 26 carries, 61 yards for Saquon Barkley. Also has just 26 yards as a receiver, 2.4 yards per carry the last 2 weeks for Barkley. I mean, he obviously had that pretty awesome game against the Texans where he had 35 carries for 152 yards, but certainly looks like they just need more around him, man. Like, period, I think, at this point. And, you know, all the talk about, like, oh, is Daniel Jones, like, can they bring him back like a franchise? No way. I don't think you can do that because this team just is who we thought they were. One of those teams against the damn Lions. But anyways. All right. Next one up here. What we've all been waiting for. New York Jets. Mike White had a 0.65 EPA per dropback in week 12. That almost doubled the second highest quarterback last week. I know some of this is the Chicago Bears. We mentioned that the Vikings actually a pretty good matchup anyways. Has Mike White come to save our New York Jets?
Just such an improvement, just staying on schedule, as they say. Now, one of those touchdowns, Garrett Wilson, Jackson blew a tire, and it would not have resulted in a score. And the Bears might, you know, have the worst defense right now after trading away their best player.
I don't think they're a normal. Just like I don't think Zach Wilson is a normal NFL quarterback, and like just having Mike White, who I don't think is a superstar, but is a normal NFL quarterback in there.
Huge,
like,
upgrade.
The Bears are not a normal NFL defense at this point either. Like, not only did they trade a bunch of their players away, but like their young dudes weren't playing. Like, their two rookies they drafted this year. So they were throwing out some goofballs there for sure.
It was also, though, I would counter, in a heavy rain. You know, it wasn't ideal conditions. Mike White can sling it. I don't know, man. He's clearly should get the starting job for the rest of this season. I made a move in a super flex move for him. I like this matchup this week. We talked about the YPA and indoors. Garrett Wilson, seven games with Zach Wilson. He's the wide receiver 66. Four games without him, he's the wide receiver 8. And Scott Barrett tweets, in the first read targets this year, number one, DeAndre Hopkins, number two, Davante Adams, number three, Garrett Wilson in games without Zach Wilson. So, I mean, he just looks like, wow. I'm going to rank him as a top 12 fantasy wideout this week in this matchup. Love to see Elijah Moore come back to life, but he ran like 11 routes or something. So, Garrett Wilson is the guy.
Yeah, everybody in New York is a rotational player except Garrett Wilson. Since week 9, he's run a route on 98% of the dropbacks. No one else is higher than 77. He has a 28% target share. No one else is higher than 16%. Obviously, some of those are even Zach Wilson games, but the point is, like, they view Garrett Wilson as the center of their universe, and he's a freaking superstar. Like, he totally deserves it. I think Moore could climb back up the depth chart, if he continues to stack good games together. Like, I love the fact that the entire locker room, you know, apparently is around Elijah Moore. Like, he's free. He's free. He's been freed or whatever. And it's like the one thing they did was change the quarterback. Like, that's a tough look if you're Zach Wilson. But I do think, like, Moore can get back into the good graces of the team. I've been joking about this, Dalton. Like, you know, my two guys, my two kind of like second year players, like, oh, I'm going to put a flag on these guys. The last 2 years with reception perception was Brandon Ayuk and Elijah Moore. I'm like, I got to look under the hood. I got to figure out, what's going on with reception perception that I end up highlighting the two. And look, there's other players I like too, but what's the deal with, like, why do I keep buying in on the guys that get into fights with their team or whatever, end up getting in the doghouse? Like, I got to figure out what that is.
That is funny. Yeah, that's I don't know what the deal is, but ultimately, hopefully Elijah will break out next year like we're seeing Ayuk, and you're just a year ahead because clearly the skills are there, maybe work out of the slot more. But man, you love watching to see what Garrett Wilson can do with the real quarterback now. And Magic Mike White is one. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, he's had some awful games last year. I get it. And it was against a favorable matchup. But man, I expect another real nice performance this week. I'm starting him in our injury prone. I started him last week in our injury prone league, and I'll do it again in this matchup in Minnesota. I'm talking super flex, but he could easily put up top 10 QB numbers again this week in this matchup.
I definitely think that's within the realm of possibility. And also, by the way, like, this transitions cleanly to the 49ers here, because I keep saying, like, look, again, you need a normal quarterback, because a normal quarterback is set up to succeed in this offense so well. It's the same offense, although I think, like, Mike LaFleur has added some real nice wrinkles there in New York. But basically, what do we know about the 49ers, bro? It's like, Jimmy G, this is the stat for this one, ranks fifth in EPA per play this season. Jimmy G is always the EPA per play, EPA per drop back king. He's always up there with dudes like Mahomes. He's up there with dudes like Josh Allen, you know, the guys we consider elite of elite. Even Tua playing in Mike McDaniel's offense, and I think Tua's having a great year. You know, he's probably driving that stat, I think, a little more than Jimmy G's driving his stat, but like, he's up there in EPA per play, right? He's because he's throwing to great receivers, but it's a really well-designed offense as well. Like, Mike White just needs to be a normal NFL quarterback. Zach Wilson, not a normal NFL quarterback, but Jimmy G, focusing on him here, fifth in EPA per play. There's a lot we could talk about with the 49ers because they have so many fantasy players we care about. Christian McCaffrey is not going to practice here on Wednesday. Elijah Mitchell's going to miss a bunch of weeks, but I don't know. I've already taken time into our 5-minute timer here, but I'll start it now that you're going to start talking here, Dalton.
Yeah, Garoppolo was not great last week. The offensive line struggled, one of its worst games of the season, and he especially struggled under pressure like most quarterbacks. Threw a bad interception up 10-0 to a linebacker that was just luckily called back due to a penalty, and that could have changed the entire game. This week against the Dolphins, we said it should be a fun one. A couple of specific players to note. The Dolphins use a lot of man coverage, and that's been really good for Brandon Ayuk this year. I also really like George Kittle's matchup here. Banged up running backs, banged up Debo Samuel. The Dolphins are arguably the most favorable matchup against opposing tight ends. I know the Cardinals have all those points, but just for opponents and whatnot, the Dolphins are right there, including getting just annihilated by Jordan Akins last week. So I really like Kittle in a matchup the Niners may have to pass more than usual. And again, let's hammer home this running back situation. Man, Elijah Mitchell cannot stay on the field.
Sucks.
CMC now dealing with this injury. McCaffrey had 6 targets before halftime last week, but it's a health thing now. So it's just 100% comes down to his health. And while people will be fighting over Jordan Mason, is it Price? Enter Tevin Coleman. I mean, he's going to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be a disaster. So hopefully CMC can be healthy. And then to me, there's not anyone that stands out because it could be any of those three. It was clearly Elijah Mitchell. He's out. And now, unfortunately, it's going to be a mess behind McCaffrey. But yeah, Niners defense has been dominant without Eric Armstead and Kinlaw. But they get such a test against the Dolphins this week. Should be a fun one.
Yeah, I'm pretty concerned about you know, if you're going to go heavy after any of those running backs, that you'll get the wrong one. Like, I think it's not great analysis, but it is what it is. Like, I think we'll know a lot more this time next week based on how these guys get used behind Christian McCaffrey. If any of them are, you know, there's a chance that McCaffrey's just still like, they don't let him practice. They manage him during the week. And then he goes full on during Sunday. Like, I think that's definitely within the range of outcomes. You mentioned Debo's not healthy. I think that's a part of the splits, but of course, like, I saw Dwayne McFarland point this out today, and I chimed in a little bit on it. Like, the addition of Christian McCaffrey has been really rough for Debo Samuel's usage. His target shares pre-CMC, 23%, 24%, 29%, 29%, 30%, 25%. Since CMC got there, 14, 17, 32, 14%. You know, some of that I think is health induced. Also, though, you know, we know that those, like I said, 6 targets to McCaffrey, like, he's become that gimme layup route guy for this team. And like, those guys are going to eat into each other a little bit. So it really is, you know, I know, like, we're Ayuk bros, but he's like easily the guy, the easiest guy to project on the team right now from a passing standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, Debo had, what, 8 rushing touchdowns and 30-some carries last year. We all knew that was going to be tough to sustain. And I hammered it home, but I keep trying to hammer home that Ayuk is the guy when they get in close, you know, 2 targets inside the 10 the last 3 weeks. So, yeah, that's going to contribute to the TDs for Debo, too. But Debo will be fine. He'll have some eruption games. But health is definitely a concern now. He said this hamstring's different one than one he suffered before. He's been on the sidelines during both games, getting stretched out. So he's clearly not 100%. And Ayuk's emergence hurts him. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, it's an offense that's extremely run heavy that has George Kittle, Garoppolo at quarterback, and an emerging Ayuk, and also you're adding McCaffrey. So that's just a horrible setup for someone that was drafted in the second round of fantasy drafts.
Yeah, this is a point we made during the summer. It was like, everybody was like, oh, the usage for Debo in weeks 1 through 8, like, we need that again, not what we got towards it. He's like, that is never going to happen again because of the situation that was going on there with Ayuk and, you know, Kittle being banged up as well. Like, that world is never coming back. That's a world that's not real. So, like, you almost need to just throw it out of your mind completely. And I think Debo's a great player, but, like, people were thinking he was, like, a up there with Justin Jefferson type of receiver, and he's just not. Like, he's a different type of player, a great player, but he's not that type of receiver. And he runs, like, big boy NFL routes, too, like dig routes, in routes, slant routes, stuff like that. But he's just not a full field type of man coverage beater like these other great receivers are. So, you know, now we're at this point with Debo, and I think he was like a misunderstood player coming into this year. And I think it was kind of, I mean, I still drafted some of Debo when he got to, like, the third round and stuff like that, but I think he was a misunderstood player this year. And obviously, we didn't see the McCaffrey thing coming, but that certainly contributed to this as well. And it's unfortunate.
One final note here. I may have misspoken. It says there's possible light showers, but the weather should be fine here. And it's looking at Mike McDaniel versus the Niners and just how well Tua's been playing. Man, this should really be a good one. I wouldn't be surprised if this turns into the game of the week.
Yeah, absolutely wouldn't be surprised. All right, 13 seconds on the clock there. Boom. We did it. All right, on that note, let's take a quick break here. When we get back, we will go through the stats for all of the other teams in the NFL. All right, we're back. We're here with the Tennessee Titans right now. I want to talk about Treylon Burks, who since week 10, when he came back off IR, has run around on 75% of the dropbacks, 21% target share, 14.6 air yards per target, 14 catches, 205 yards since week 10. How are we feeling about Treylon Burks? It's not a great matchup here against the Eagles. But, you know, Christian Watson, obviously Watson's like a freakier player than Burks, of course. Like, if, you know, he's more Martavis Bryant. I don't think Treylon Burks is that type of receiver, but, you know, his best route is like still the crossing route and the go route, just like Christian Watson. So maybe there's something there, but tough matchup for Treylon Burks. But how are we feeling about his usage so far?
Derrick Henry, 2.8 yards per carry the last 3 weeks. There's some rumblings that he's playing injured, but he looked good on that long pass catch. You know, he nearly
took
it to the house. And I'm bringing it back with great hustle by Treylon Burks, recovering that fumble in the end zone.
Bad that that was his first touchdown in the NFL, though, right? Like, I mean, that kind of, it's cool you scored a touchdown, but still, like, that stinks. You would have preferred it to be an actual catch.
Yeah, no doubt. Not a great matchup this week, but he passes the eye test. He looks good. He's finally getting the looks with the target percentage. So I'm still treating him as a wide receiver 3, despite, you know, the opposing cornerbacks being difficult this week.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, wide receiver 3, that makes sense to me. All right, next one here. Washington Commanders, they rank 32nd in neutral pass rate since week 10. You know, the target share numbers still look great for Terry McLaurin, but, like, they're not throwing the ball enough at this point. Now, I'm not going to criticize them for it because they're winning games, and I think it's, like, having a good running game is what you want with Taylor Heinicke under center. You want him, like, taking shots every now and again, not consistently over the course of a game. And the fact their defense has been so good, that's also part of this. Just the rushing share numbers for these two dudes since then, Brian Robinson, 48% of the carries, coming off an awesome game. Antonio Gibson, who obviously is more involved in the passing game, 33% here. Where are we at with the Washington Commanders backfield and the offense overall?
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke did not attempt 30 passes in a game during November. I hyped up McLaurin last week, but again, just a lack of volume. I mean, the target share is nice, but he has 7 targets and 6 targets the last 2 games. The defense emerging and playing so well has been a problem, as has the schedule, leading to poor game scripts, and it could be more of the same, you know, especially against the Giants, probably another lower scoring game. We're lying with a dominant defense. This pass rush hasn't even had Chase Young yet, so expect more of the same with the two running backs, the focal points of this offense, and it's not ideal for any of the pass catchers.
Yeah, it's really not. you know, they need, if you start Terry McLaurin fantasy, he's just like a volatile wide receiver too, pretty much. He has a, you can count on the floor a little bit. Like, he's not going to completely disappear like he did in games with Wentz, but it's just, it's not going to be there from a ceiling perspective unless he has a crazy play like he did against the Colts with Heinicke. But Heinicke's going to give him those chances more than Wentz. So that's just kind of like, we know what the, like I've always said with wide receivers like Terry McLaurin, they go from one bad quarterback to another uninspiring quarterback. You have to do a little bit of bargaining with yourself. It's like, okay, well, it's better this way, better that way. I've said that before. So our next one up here, Chargers. I put this stat on there. Keenan Allen played a season high 89% of snaps, but I like the one that you put on here way more. The Chargers have allowed a season high rush yards to every opposing running back since week six.
It's wild. Yeah, James Conner last week, 120. I don't believe he had reached 70 in a game. Pacheco, 107 before that. Elijah Mitchell, 89 before that. Tyler Algier, for you to say. 99, Kenneth Walker. It keeps going. Yeah, I mean, it's wild how bad this run defense has been. You can really point a direct line to when Joey Bosa went out, too. So expect more of the same this week, although I don't know if Josh Jacobs will be able to suit up. It's pretty wild when you read into it how questionable he really was. He apparently suffered a real injury Friday. He even had to talk his coaches into coming back in overtime before that 84-yard touchdown run. So Crazy. Hopefully he just sits out all practice all week and is good to go, because, boy, he has another matchup just primed for a smash spot.
Yeah, let's actually just do the Raiders one right now, too, because it directly ties into this one. The Raiders stat that I put on there because I wanted to talk about these running backs, was just that they're 11th in rushing success rate this season. Obviously, Josh Jacobs has been like the key to that. So where do we, let's say Josh Jacobs sits, like, how do we feel about Zamir White? How do we feel about Amir Abdullah, who obviously more about passing down threat for Amir Abdullah? I think Mike Clay had some crazy stat that like every single play he'd been on the field so far was a passing play until last week was Amir Abdullah. So just by the way, the Chargers, because they're a ridiculous matchup here, they get the Raiders this week, they get the Dolphins next week, the Titans week after that, the Colts after that, the Rams after that, don't care, and then the Broncos, like the last two, we don't care, the Rams backfield, the Broncos backfield, whatever, who gives a damn. But like those four matchups there, pretty interesting for the Chargers rushing game.
And I believe Zamir White doesn't have more than 2 carries in a game this year, 7 routes run all year. But I mean, if the reports are he's going to be the lead back, you've got to use him as a RB3 or a flex spot in that matchup. But yeah, it's not great that there's no like obvious guy to plug and play in Vegas just because Zamir White's such an unknown. But in this matchup, we really have to pay extra close attention to that Raiders backfield situation. And they're the most condensed team, I believe. If you look at the percentage of fantasy production, they're number one. It's all Josh Jacobs and Adams. I mean, it's you really like to see that in fantasy terms. It really is very, very condensed in Vegas.
Chargers giving up 4.4 yards per carry. That's 0.2 more than the second highest team in the NFL. I mean, my God, like, it's embarrassing that they can't fix this problem. I know, like you said, Joey Bosa gets hurt, but they weren't set up to sustain a lot of injuries there, and they have sustained those injuries. All right, next one up here is the Patriots. We'll get to them in TNF. So that brings us to the Seahawks. Seahawks wide receivers this year. Ian Harditz pointed this out. You put it on the outline. DK Metcalf, 59 catches, 671 yards, 4 touchdowns, 92 targets overall. The great Tyler Lockett, though, baby. 57 catches, 709 yards, and 6 touchdowns on just 73 targets. I'm guilty of this as well, Dalton, that like every week in the rankings and like rest of season rankings, stuff like that, there's a gap between these two dudes, but like that gap has not existed. In fact, it's been a bit of a gap the other way, that Lockett has been better than Metcalf this year.
Yeah, I led my bus column this week with DK Metcalf, so cue a monster performance from him. But what an odd season. He's not been a top 25 fantasy wideout in per game in half PPR, despite ranking top 12 in targets, target share, air yards, air yardage share, and he's top 3 in red zone targets. And this is with Geno Smith, now the heavy favorite to win comeback player of the year. He's like minus 300, leads the NFL in true completion percentage. So what is the deal here? I mean, Metcalf was supposed to be playing injured last year, and he's supposed to be healthy. So last week, he was the wide receiver 17, despite getting 15 targets against a Raiders secondary that was allowing a higher passer rating than Patrick Mahomes' career mark. So I don't know what's going on there with Metcalf, but he's being outplayed by Lockett. And this week, he gets a Rams team that was getting on offense, was the worst, getting the fewest yards per play before losing Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, and Allen Robinson. So I expect they're also the slowest pace in neutral situations. So I expect the Seahawks to bounce back with an easy win by just running the ball like crazy with Aaron Donald out. So I don't like the setup and I don't like how he's performed. But again, that just means, of course, Metcalf's going to go off for three tutties.
Definitely feels like a great Lockett week. You know, I've pointed this out that the Rams play the most zone coverage in the NFL, and it is soft, soft, soft zone coverage. Like, Tyler Lockett in the slot can rip these dudes up. I think that gives something for DK too, but Lockett's definitely a better zone beating receiver. It's funny too, because like the overall numbers for Metcalf don't look bad. Like, he's wide receiver 19 in half PPR right now. He's got 92 targets, like you mentioned. He's 7.3 yards per target, whatever, 11.4 yards per catch, whatever. Like, that's fine, but this did always irk me in the offseason why I do have a lot of Tyler Lockett teams, is because like people ignored the fact that Lockett had better target percentage numbers with Geno Smith last year when he started. And like, he's just as good of a receiver as DK Metcalf is. He is just as good of a talent. So like, this idea that it's so shocking that Lockett's better, it's like, he's just as good as DK Metcalf, period. Like, I don't know why people, I don't know why people have been so slow to figure that out. But yeah, he's just like, he has
more yards and 33% more touchdowns and 20 fewer targets. I mean, yeah, Lockett's the man.
He is the man. All right. Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. Next one. Tampa Bay's neutral pass rate in 2020 and 2021, 59%, third most. Since week 8 this year, 56%, ninth most. Dalton, the Bucs just feel like a very, very different and very, very conservative team this year. We've talked a lot about, obviously, the curse, witchcraft, etc. I'm starting to think they're just not that well of a coached team right now.
Well, yes. Oh, too many runs on first and 10 that aren't successful. You just love the setup, though, for Rashad White, securing all 9 targets. He hit 3 catches in overtime last week, so I'm just really curious for Nets usage and health moving forward, what's going to happen there, because yeah, this is a team that runs the ball. I don't know. It's weird. Is Godwin suddenly healthier than Evans? I mean, there's a weird lack of rapport between Evans and Brady, but yeah, it's been a weird season, but Brady, you got to give him credit. He has a knack for playing in the NFL's worst division, just year in and year out. He's the goat at that. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, that part of Giselle's protection spell does seem to still be working. Yeah. So at least there's some lingering effects from that one. Speaking of that division, Atlanta Falcons, you sent this in from Jeff Bell. Olamide Zaccheaus became the first Falcon to top 90 receiving yards in 2022 in week 12. Kyle Pitts now out for the season. And I don't tell you, like, the Zaccheaus plays are good. The Damir Bird plays are good. And Mariota is not good, by the way. My God, he was terrible against Washington. And he's been like, I think he's been the worst non-like Baker Mayfield starting quarterback this year, Marcus Mariota. He's at least up there.
Meanwhile,
Zach Wilson.
Well, he's in a tier by himself.
Yeah, he's not a normal NFL quarterback, like I said. So,
good. Drake London surpassed 50 receiving yards in each of the first 3 games of his career and hasn't since week 3. And that's with, you know, Pitts missing. So it's hate the Drake so far his rookie year, but we can pretty much point to the quarterback play. And maybe he's a buy low in dynasty because, yeah, Mariota, yeah, it's been a disaster for sure.
He has been a disaster. And it is pretty wild that it does not seem like it is even in Arthur Smith's mind to potentially go to Desmond Ridder, which, you know, might say something about Arthur Smith, might say something about Desmond Ridder. I don't know. I'd at least try to get a look at the dude, but they're in contention here to win the damn division. So I kind of get it. If he's just not ready to play at all, like, you're just not going to play him for no reason. All right. Next one up here, Indianapolis Colts, 37.9% of Matt Ryan's passes since week 10, when he got back as a starter, have gone for 10 plus yards. Only 3 quarterbacks are lower than that. Colt McCoy, Tom Brady, LOL, and Russell Wilson so far in that stretch. It was kind of crazy to me that Troy Aikman was like marveling at, why aren't they throwing the ball downfield? Why aren't they throwing the ball downfield? I'm like, because Matt Ryan is totally cooked. Like, the one pass he got to Michael Pittman was like a godsend. That was the first time we've seen Michael Pittman get like a downfield, you know, throw it up to him target all year long.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that it was a sneaky play for Paris Campbell. And Alec Pierce had seen the targets the week before, too, and he just totally disappeared. Yeah, it's a disaster with Ryan. He looks almost toast. It's not great. Pittman's another buy low for that would really change his outlook moving forward with a change in quarterbacks next year.
Yeah, he's made a couple mistakes this year, drops, stuff like that. But, you know, he's a great receiver, man. He's still like the only guy who can consistently get open on that team. He's just a very good player. You know, I had somebody ask me in the middle of the game, like, are we to the point where we can drop Michael Pittman? I'm like, no, man. I mean, he's like the only guy you can even think about starting in this passing game right now. Although Jelani Woods, that was exciting.
Yeah, and Ryan loves his tight end. So, yeah.
Loves his tight ends. You know, VCU's finest, Mo'Ally Cox, that's never going to happen. But UVA's finest, University of Virginia's finest, Jelani Woods, maybe he could be something there. So we'll see, man. I really think that if they played him more, like, I know he probably doesn't totally understand the tight end position, or he's not fully developed, whatever. Like, it takes tight ends a long time to kind of transition, and he was a late bloomer anyways in college, Jelani Woods, but he just looks different. Like, he looks different, bigger than everybody else out there. I would love to see more of that dude going forward rest of the season. All right, next game up here, Cleveland Browns. The Texans have been run on 378 times this year. That's the most in the NFL. I feel like this week, I know that obviously all the talk is about Deshaun Watson coming back. I think Nick Chubb could easily steal that spotlight this week.
100%. Nick Chubb has not faced a bottom 15 run defense since week 5, but he's remained plenty productive. Houston, meanwhile, has allowed 5 different running backs to run for at least 140 yards. Deshaun Watson's first game since essentially 2000. I would expect this team to lean heavily on the running backs. They're 7-point favorites. Chubb's getting 5.3 yards per carry on the road in this great matchup. So, yeah, you could rank him as your number one fantasy back this week, no problem.
All right, Detroit Lions. Dalton, hit me with some of those golf nugs you had in the Toyota video this morning.
All right. We'll talk a little Jared Goff. I mean, did I surprise you with that pick, too? I had to have.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. We got to, for the uninitiated here, we do a video every week where we but sometimes I feel like there's a little bit of a disconnect between folks who are watching our videos and, like, people who are watching our podcasts or listening to our podcast, because I had people hit me up like, oh, Fantasy Football Live, where can we watch it on Sunday morning when I talked about it with Andy on Monday? I'm like, watch the Yahoo videos, listen to the podcast, do it all. Just make Yahoo the center of your life, okay? You can't get enough Dalton or Andy Behrens or Scott Pienowski, okay? You need to get as much as possible. But anyways, we do a video every week for the site where we highlight fantasy legends, you know, who's a matchup-proof player that's going to have an epic fantasy performance. And Dalton hits me with his first pick, Jared Goff. Yes, you did take me by surprise there.
Yeah, I don't know if he's matchup proof, if that worked, but this matchup, I really like this one. I mean, the Lions are averaging the third most points per game at home this season, behind only the Bills and Bengals. Goff's awful on the road, 2 touchdowns, 7 turnovers. At home, 15 touchdown passes, 3 turnovers. He's averaging more touchdown passes at home than any quarterback in the league this season, other than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, total. And he's just getting 2.6, so nearly the same amount as Mahomes is getting, Goff is getting when playing in Detroit. Jacksonville's defense allowing the second most yards per play over the last 3 weeks. Lions receivers are healthier. So yeah, I'm ranking Goff as like my quarterback 8 this week, I think, and his ECR is like the 16th or something. So he's very affordable in DFS. I think it was like $24 or something. So yeah, I like Goff, but what could go wrong? I mean, Goff. But yeah, that's my thesis at least. But again, with DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, I wouldn't be shocked if they ran in 4 touchdowns. But I will say, with the way Trevor Lawrence is playing and the way their defense is playing, even with an improving Detroit defense, I love this game to be super high scoring. So yeah, I think this is an interesting game to stack in DFS.
Yeah, and we can bleed it right into the Jaguars one here, because they're next on the list, and obviously they're playing Christian. I think this is a really good Christian Kirk week on the other end of it. The Lions defense has definitely gotten better, but they allow the most yards to slot players, 655 since week 10, which is kind of like when they started turning their defense around from a run defense standpoint, getting a little bit better as a pass defense. Like, we saw damn Isaiah McKenzie tear up the Lions on Thanksgiving as a slot player. Like, Christian Kirk, obviously Zay Jones had the big game last week. I think this week could be Christian Kirk. So if you're stacking this game up, that's a nice note there for Kirk from a DFS perspective.
Trevor Lawrence's target percentage has improved dramatically throughout the season. Great match indoors here. again, I like him as a top 10 easy QB this week too. Love Goff and Lawrence in this matchup.
All right, we got the Raiders next. We already took care of them, so let's move to the Steelers here. This one is, I'm being generous calling this a stat. There's a number in here, but it comes in from our guy, Edwin Porras, Fantasy Points. Najee Harris is a high risk to miss 1 to 2 games. Jaylen Warren was out in week 12 with a hamstring injury. The average return time is 1.5 games, although Jaylen Warren was, quote, cleared to play in week 13. But Edwin worries that Jaylen Warren could be pushing or the Steelers could be pushing to return him before he's ready, basically. So he points out Benny Snell, and my God, like, is it Benny Snell? Is it Jaylen Warren? Some running back is going to rip up the Falcons, man, because everybody rips up the Falcons from a rushing perspective.
Yep, totally. Just a situation to pay attention to. It was an unfortunate injury, Najee leaving the game, and McFarland looked really good at times too.
So. I know, yeah. The Colts have a good run defense, but it's like, oh, Benny Snell looking good, Anthony McFarland looking good, and you know, Najee Harris gets hurt.
Yeah, and this one final note here in targets, Ian Harditz tweeted, Deontay Johnson, your guy, 32 more targets than Pickens and PPR points. They're essentially identical in 32 fewer targets this season. So Pickens,
yeah, I love that. But meanwhile, by the way, every Deontay Johnson target on the sideline sailing 10 yards over his head. So,
fair.
But yeah, he okay. is still a mistake. Yeah, it's like, why is these yards per target so low? Kenny Pickett sails a ball over his head. But it would be nice if, like, can somebody just tell Deontay Johnson, like, he actually hasn't been that. I know he dropped a touchdown against the Colts. His drop numbers aren't terrible this year, but could somebody tell the guy, when you get the ball in the open field, go towards the end zone. Stop going towards the sideline. It's like a magnet that brings him to the sideline, and he ends up losing like 4 yards. He's got to have like the worst yards lost after the catch in the NFL. Like, my God, great route runner, but definitely a mistake prone player for sure. Deontay Johnson, Arizona Cardinals, another wide receiver here. Marquise Brown ran a route on 100% of the dropbacks last week in his return, was not limited, about a 30% target share and a 60% slot player in terms of snaps played in the slot. Marquise Brown, you can heat check me on this. Is it crazy to think that he might be a better receiver rest of the season than DeAndre Hopkins? I don't know if I believe that, but I love the way he's been used by the Cardinals this year. About the only nice thing I could say about the Cardinals offense right now is I like Marquise Brown's usage.
That's not crazy at all, because if you look at the production from the slot position in Arizona, it's been an elite fantasy receiver this year. And we're talking guys like Greg Dortch, you know, and Rondell Moore learning to play, basically.
Were hurt last week. So Brown might kick back outside when they get back. But you're right, though. It's been a great position.
Right. They both also might be multiple week injuries, too, though, as well. And Trey McBride, I thought, was a sneaky tight end play last week to him play the slot. And boy, did that not work out at all. Yeah. I told fantasy managers to sit Brown Hollywood last week, because I believed Kingsbury and thought he was going to be very limited the first game back. But I was wrong there. He looked great. And you got to start him moving forward and hope he stays in that coveted slot role. That would be huge.
Yeah, I would love to see that. They are on a bye this week, so it could give Rondell Moore, Greg Dortch time to get back.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, we'll see. But either way, like Marquise Brown's usage a lot. All right, Carolina Panthers here. This one comes in from Jacob Gibbs. You send a Jacob Gibbs tweet at least once per week on the outline. I gotta like actually follow this guy. So
Them I've already used for his. Yeah, he's a really good tweeter. Recommended.
All right, cool. I'm gonna follow him just on your recommendation here, and because he sent it at least. I actually like. I can't keep quoting the guy's tweet and not follow him on Twitter. That's a real scumbag move by me. Anyways, this one comes in from Jacob Gibbs. It appears as if truly anyone other than Baker Mayfield will do for DJ Moore. Target per route run rate: 27% with PJ Walker, 27% with Sam Darnold, 20% with Baker Mayfield. Yards per route run rate: 2.18 with PJ Walker, 2.03 with Sam Darnold, 1.07 with Baker Mayfield. Oh, Dalton, do you mean to tell me that yards per route run, the holy metric of evaluating wide receivers, not a wide receiver stat? Is that what you mean to tell me?
Yeah, I know you'd love that one. But yeah, boy, Baker Mayfield. I didn't realize that Sam Darnold was significantly better than Baker Mayfield entering this year. I got to say, that's been a revelation for me. Man, wow. But yeah, ugly stuff. But definitely something to note when you're looking at DJ Moore, because Baker Mayfield's apparently, you got to sit Moore whenever he's starting.
I don't want to have a big in-depth conversation about DJ Moore here because I'm trying to like not have a video clipped of DJ Moore or like have my buddy Ryan tell me that's my guy because we talk about him too much on the podcast. But anyways, last thing I'll say here on this is just like the thing, like, I don't know if Sam Darnold's better than Baker Mayfield, but he's, but Baker Mayfield just can't hit difficult timing throws, like, period. And you know, it's just like, that's what a number one wide receiver runs, like outside guy like DJ Moore, like Odell Beckham back in Cleveland. So he, that's why he just, he's not that player. Like, he's not good at that stuff. And that's why he is, I just think like his 2020 season will go down as one of the most environment propped up quarterback seasons for a long time. Baker Mayfield, like, great offensive line, great running game, awesome offensive play call by Kevin Stefanski. And like, I think that we've exposed Baker Mayfield since then.
So, I think he was getting like 10 and a half yards per screen. Like, he was really bad.
Yeah. We definitely have talked about that on like the Stat Nerd podcast last year, that at one point he was, I think he was averaging like 13.3 yards per attempt on the screen.
Yeah, crazy.
Last year. So crazy stuff. All right, next one up here. Green Bay Packers. Sounds like Aaron Rodgers is going to play, but let's talk about Jordan Love real quick, like expectations if he ends up starting. I thought this was interesting that in his week 12 relief action, obviously relief action, trying to come back, whatever, 10.7 air yards per attempt, 2.8 time to throw. In his 2021 start, 7.8 air yards per attempt, 2.4 time to throw. I don't know. Just, I thought Love looked good. I thought he looked like much more confident, decisive, and like he was willing to hang in there and like throw the ball down the field a little bit more. And the numbers kind of back that up.
Yeah, I thought he looked good as well. Just curious to see if he gets a chance here or eventually. Christian Watson looks so good, man.
He looks great.
Different. It just, speed looks different out there. He looks so, so good. And I have him nowhere. I was a Dobbs guy, but Watson is just, people are going to be fighting over to draft him at fantasy draft tables next year, and rightfully so.
Dobbs did get back at practice apparently today. I think Romeo Dobbs is a pretty good player too. But yeah, I almost just called him Martavis Bryant. Like Christian Watson, that was my pre-draft comparison for him, was Martavis Bryant. I've talked about a lot on the show, and I just think it fits perfectly with his game. He's not a complete receiver, but like, try to catch him, you know, in the open field on crossing routes and stuff like that. It's pretty difficult. So great, great young player there is Christian Watson. Next one up here, New Orleans Saints. This one comes in from Dwayne McFarlane. Since 2011, only four rookie receivers have eclipsed an 80 PFF grade and a 22% target share. Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Pretty good list to be on. We've got two guys so far in 2022. Chris Olave, 84.5 and 24%. Garrett Wilson, 81.8 and 23%. I mean, Chris Olave, dude, like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like, and I'm sure this is a small thing and like a potential straw man I'm talking to here, but like, you know, like I talk about these two guys, like I think they are the top two guys in this class right now. I think Drake London's pretty close, but I think those are the top two guys in this class right now. It's really tough to pick between them, but like I tweet about that and I still get people like, oh no, George Pickens definitely better than Chris Olave. I'm like, get out of here, man. Like I like George Pickens, but get out of here. Like Chris Olave is already a stud, and I feel like people still don't regard him as that.
Yeah, it's a couple tough matchups, or at least last week in San Francisco, this week in Tampa, and then the bye week. So not ideal for fantasy terms, but boy, he looks like a future superstar. I'm with you there. And Garrett Wilson, just such an alpha too. Yeah, yeah. What's not to like about these guys? It looks like a great receiving class. And Olave, yes, his situation will improve next year, gets to play indoors, hopefully a much improved quarterback situation, and he's going to be a superstar moving forward.
Well, except the fact that, you know, Reception Perception loves him. And in his second year, he will certainly be in Dennis Allen's
in the doghouse.
Yeah, next year. So yes, I apologize already for that when like he's not even playing real snaps next year. But yeah, no, I kid. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. All right. Denver Broncos. This one comes in from Field Yates. Denver is now down to 14.27 points per game this season. It's the worst by any team in the NFL since the 2000 Browns. 10.1. I mean, my God, who was even on the 2000 Browns? I don't know. I'm going to look it up as we're talking here because this is so embarrassing for Russell. Tim Couch, Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson, 210 passes for the 2000 Cleveland Browns. 2 touchdowns to 8 interceptions for Doug Peterson, current head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, I don't know who these receivers and running backs. I don't know who these dudes are. Like Travis Prentice, never heard of him before. Their leading rusher, Kevin Johnson, David Patton, Dennis Northcutt. I mean, I have heard of some of those dudes before, but still, my God.
Yeah, what do we, I don't know. This is just shocking that Geno Smith, heavy favorite to win Comeback Player of the Year Award, and Russell Wilson. I believe I saw a stat. He was the 33rd fantasy QB last week. You know, there's, I believe 32 started. So not ideal. It's really not great a season for him. And the fact that he's a $55 million dead cap hit in 2 years when he's 37 years old isn't great either for Denver, whomever their coach will be then. But yeah, it's bad. This is just a horrible matchup for fantasy opponents because the Broncos have a really good defense and the worst offense since the year 2000.
I don't even know what they do either. Like, I don't know what they do next year. You can't bring back Hackett, but like, do you really want like, oh, let's get Russ involved in the head coaching search because he's, I don't even know that you can guarantee that he's going to be the starter like next year. I think they have to bring in like competent. I don't know. What a disaster.
Half his teammates showed up to his birthday party supposedly last night. I don't know.
Was it Ciara's birthday party?
She threw a party for him. She threw a party for him. And I guess half his teammates showed up is what they're saying, but not great, Russ.
Not great, yeah. But maybe they wanted to see what all the bathrooms looked like. The more bathrooms he's going to have than touchdown passes or whatever. Exactly. They wanted to see what each one of them looked like. All right. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this next team either. The Rams ranked 32nd in rushing success rate and 29th in passing success rate since week 8. You mentioned Allen Robinson out for the year. Cooper Kupp on IR. They ain't bringing him back. Matthew Stafford in the concussion protocol. They just ruled out Aaron Donald for week 13. They're another team that, hey, since we don't need to talk about the Rams here, like from a fantasy perspective, they do yourself a favor. Don't start any Rams in fantasy there. Boom. There's the analysis. Will you think less of Sean McVay if he like retires at the end of this year? Like, I kind of think I do. If he just quits, like after putting this team in a hole this way and like has this disaster season and he's like, oh, I'm going to pull the Urban Meyer and take time off and you know, whatever, go to TV. I think I'll think less of him a little bit if he does.
And I think they were close to trading 2 first rounders for Brian Burns.
They were, yeah. No,
that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, they were going to do it. The Panthers said no.
If they mortgaged even more of their future for this season, would have been great. I think he's definitely leaving. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't fault you for feeling losing some respect for him because it's a disaster situation. But I mean, that's why you want like your GM and coaches, you know, different timelines, really. But hey, they won the Super Bowl, and boy, they were down 10 at home to the Niners and then didn't have to face the Chiefs or the Bills. So it worked out, you know, flags fly forever. But I think McVay is probably going to leave. I would prepare myself for that. I actually would be surprised if he returns to this show, actually, at this point.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think it's like kind of the coward's way out, but that's
I'm not arguing with you there, but I think it might have been. I mean, yeah, I hear you. At the same time, I don't know if he's so far deep, it's almost, can you blame him? But it's definitely a cowardly way for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. What a mess. We'll have a lot more time in the offseason to dissect that stuff. Hey, this one, next one, the Chicago Bears from Andy Barron's Stat Pack article. Of course, it's Andy Barron's. David Montgomery gained 60 of his 79 rushing yards after contact last week. He also forced 7 missed tackles on his 14 carries, the highest for any back in week 12. And he has 4 of his attempts went for 10 or more yards. Pretty decent matchup here for David Montgomery this week. Probably the only Chicago Bear that you can really feel good about if Justin Fields sits.
Yeah, the Packers are real. They were not defending the run too well last time we saw them. I'm curious who's going to start at quarterback for the Bears, obviously. Simeon's totally competent. First quarter and a half, frankly, had the Bears passing offense looking at as good as it has at any point this season. I mean, Justin Fields has been doing his damage on the ground, and that's when he had to take a pain reduction shot right before that as well. But Montgomery looked great. Darrington Evans was the surprise backup, not Ebner. But in this matchup, I'm treating Montgomery as a top 20, maybe top 15 fantasy back, getting all the work, no matter who starts quarterback with no Mooney there. Montgomery is going to be the total focal point of the offense this week.
Chase Claypool still hasn't figured out how to act normal in a contested situation either. It's like, you're 6'4", pal. Just jump up. Just jump up and extend your arms. Don't like try to go sideways, all this goofball stuff. So, weird stuff there for the Bears. Last one here, Houston Texans. Damian Pierce is averaging 1.07 yards per carry the last 2 weeks. There's no other stat to talk about with the Texans here. But then again, Dalton, no team gives up more total EPA on rushing plays than the Cleveland Browns. The problem here, dude, I don't know how you'd have to have like stones to start Damian Pierce after what he did the last 2 weeks and the way that I think the Browns could easily blow out the Texans. But like, this might be the last matchup where you'd feel pretty good about starting Damian Pierce, because they've got games against like the Chiefs, the Titans, like a bunch of teams who could take him to the woodshed after this and really game script out Pierce.
Yeah, maybe I'm crazy, but I still ranked him as a top 15 fantasy back this week. And I told him, I wrote him up in my DFS column as a sneaky, like, tournament contrarian play. Certainly won't have a high roster percentage after failing to reach 10 rushing yards in consecutive games. Even lost a goal line score last week. But Kyle Allen targeted him 6 times last week. The Browns have allowed the most EPA per rush, third most rushing scores. Rex Burkhead is in concussion protocol, so he may get all the looks here. So I don't know. The Browns, with Deshaun Watson's first game, I could see actually that game being more competitive. I made the Texans my best bet of the week. I think that game's going to be competitive, and I think Pierce and Chubb are going to be, you know, back and forth. The running backs are going to have big games. That's how I see that playing out. So if Pierce, you know, if he sucks this game, then don't ever consider starting the rest of the season. But and I agree, he's very matchup dependent, but even his 7-point dogs, I think at home against this Browns sieve of a rush defense, it's going to work out okay.
No, that's a good call, man. I think people need to hear that. Like, it's a, if you have Pierce right now, like I said, you're freaking out, but it's a good matchup. And I love the note about, like, how many Kyle Allen, he's like the worst downfield passer in the NFL. You know, I'll never forgive him for the Curtis Samuel 2019 thwarted breakout season. Just a bunch of prayer yards and those air yards that weren't even close. And, you know, sure, he's no deep passing arm. Dump it off to Damian Pierce. Like, why can't we get him 8 targets in this game if there's no Rex Burkhead? That would certainly help a lot. Yeah, so that makes me feel a little bit better about Damian Pierce.
Yeah, don't underestimate the 6 targets. That's his season high. That's give Pierce one more game.
I like that call a lot. That's a good one. I think people need to hear that. All right, the people need a Thursday night preview here. We got the Bills -4 at New England. Two stats I brought in for this one. New England, Mac Jones averaging 9.4 YPA the last 2 weeks. Was good against the Vikings on Thanksgiving. We talked about that defense, like, not great, but I mean, Mac Jones looked pretty good. And the Bills, of course, still ranked first in point differential this year. I'm not freaking out about the Bills at any level right now. I think they're still a great team. This game could be a pretty fun fantasy one, and kind of like a sneaky fun fantasy one for the Patriots.
Mac Jones has looked better, no question. You got to pay attention to the receivers here. Jacoby Myers' health kind of rotated. He did not run a lot of routes after suffering the injury mid-game. But conversely, Ramondre Stevenson should get all the work he can handle with Damian Harris out this week. He was limping badly. It looked like that thigh injury is going to keep him out multiple weeks. You love the targets even when the ground game hasn't been successful there. So Stevenson locked in top 10 fantasy back. And my guy Gabe Davis continues to disappoint. Isaiah McKenzie came back to life the last time we saw them. So one thing I'll note here is Devin Singletary, this is a tough matchup. He relies on touchdowns. The Patriots have really defended the run very stingily lately. So I expect this to be all Josh Allen and the receivers this game, more so than the running backs for Buffalo.
You know, we talked about Ramondre Stevenson during our Thanksgiving preview. Like, he could be the highest scoring back on the Thanksgiving slate. In half point PPR, you know who outscored him by 0.3? Ezekiel Elliott.
No. Yeah, half point helps because all those targets. He had 10 targets, though. I mean, man, 9 catches. Yeah, so the half point killed him there because, man, he's just, you got to love to see that. He's just taken that role in New England and has excelled. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so good. I think he could be the RB1 in this week, too. But yeah, if Jacoby Myers gets a clean bill of health, I feel pretty good about him in this game. Of course, obviously, it's a rotation out of that. I'm not chasing Hunter Henry. Are you chasing any Hunter Henry touchdowns? Yeah, no,
not Aguilar either. Thornton's kind of taking a back seat to even guys like Bourne if you're looking for real cheap DFS play. But yeah, it's Myers and Stevenson and no one else really there for New England.
Yeah, Thornton doesn't know how to play real receiver yet, that's for sure, after watching him earlier this year. And, you know, on the Bills, yeah, I mean, we'll see. We talked with Lord Podcast about old Gabe Davis. You know, at some point he's going to have that eruption game again, right? But it hasn't come lately. So, yeah, I don't think you can. The Bills' offense is pretty clean overall. Devin Singletary feel pretty good about in this spot as well. But, yeah, we know what to do with the Bills here. We know what to do with Josh Allen, Steph Diggs, and the boys there on that side. All right, Dalton. Anything else? That was a hell of a packed episode. A lot of Liver King notes and a lot of NFL stats as well.
Yeah, I tried to pack it in. I'm not going to be here for the preview pod this week, so I hope I didn't overwhelm you too many stats. But good stuff, Harmon. And hope you can – we got to go check out what the Liver King said, man. I got to see his response here. So, yeah.
Enough of this NFL nonsense. Yeah, we got to go check in with something important. Like I said, if you're not familiar with the Liver King, like, it's wild stuff. Get yourself initiated there. All right. That's going to do it for us. You can follow Dalton on Twitter at Dalton Del Don if you don't already. You can follow me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. And while you're there, make yourself a better fantasy player and improve your timeline by following at Yahoo Fantasy. You won't regret it. That is Dalton's promise to you. If you like the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. My God, we just gave you all those notes on NFL teams, stats, all that stuff. The Liver King, other great people to follow on Twitter. How could you not like this show? Leave us a 5-star rating. We would love it. Scott Pienowski and Frank Schwab, the betting bros. We'll be back tomorrow to go over every game for week 13 on the Preview Podcast. Until then, we're out.